podcast of Christ Church Presbyterian, a PCA church plant in Charleston, South Carolina. My name is Gabriel Williams, and I'm here with Ross Hodges and John Payne. So, brothers, we are here on another beautiful, hot Charleston day, 90 degrees at about 8:30 in the morning. So, how's it going? 100%
humidity.
It's going well. I guess you're feeling a bit relieved. Our listeners may not know this, but you're a professor of physics at the College of Charleston, and yes. I know summertime must be a bit of a relief for you.
Oh, it's awesome. It's like the last 2 weeks of grading hundreds of papers, seeing a lot of bad writing, a lot of F's on finals, a lot of grading. So it's just happy to get past the hump, and now you get to relax a little bit before, you know, you do your own research and whatnot. But I'm so happy the year's over. It's been a long, long year.
Well, we're certainly glad that, that you have a little time freed up to be able to do this podcast with us.
Yeah, and, definitely. It's been a lot of fun so far. So
this is our second episode?
Second or third?
This is our third episode.
This is our third official episode. Yeah. Okay.
That's right. And all of our five listeners will be very happy with
this podcast. Yeah, Ross, you have an aunt listening to this.
Yeah, I think my wife might listen to it also. So that could be six listeners.
Wow.
Well, I'll still have to convince my wife to listen to it.
We're going to be breaking some records here soon.
Yes, we are. We might get double digits by the end of the year.
Yep, that's what you hope for. Yeah. All right. All right, so last time we were talking, we were speaking about the history of Christ Church. And so, as was mentioned before, we were about to celebrate our two-year anniversary on June 14th. And so we're very excited about what the Lord has done in giving a church plant in Charleston. And so we just want to finish up and kind of continue that conversation. But I just have a very honest question, because I'm a Southerner. And everyone knows that Southerners are Christians. That's just how it works. So if you just drive down the street, I mean, you can pass 35 churches going right down the middle of Mount Pleasant.
36.
Or, yeah, 36 maybe.
And that's in two blocks.
So, or you can go downtown. You see all these huge, beautiful churches all over the place. And so my basic question is, why are we planting another church?
Yeah, it's a great question. And there would be those who would be critical, actually, of us coming in and planting another church here. Some would ask more questions on top of that one. Why would you plant a church here when you could plant a church in a place where there weren't other churches?
Sure.
You think about even parts of our own nation where there would be entire communities that wouldn't have a real clear gospel witness.
Mm-hmm.
There would be, of course, other countries where you could travel for hundreds of miles and not have a solid witness. And so the question is a valid one, but I think what we need to back up and think about when we think about that question is, what is a true church?
Sure, that's true.
What is a true church? And when we think about the Protestant Reformation in the 16th century, that was the question of the day, wasn't it, Ross?
It was, yeah. The question of, what should I actually consider to be a church?
Right. The Reformers were trying to work through this question, what is a true church? What are the marks of a true church? And so really what came out of that discussion, what was distilled, was the teaching that a true church is a church that faithfully preaches the gospel from the whole counsel of God, from Genesis to Revelation. A true church, a mark of a true church, is also the right administration of the sacraments,
mm-hmm.
and also church discipline. Not necessarily just discipline as in the sense of a member going astray, but discipline as in order, shepherding, care, oversight, visitation,
mm-hmm.
Discipleship.
Truly caring for the flock.
So that's essentially what we have come to do in planting Christ Church, is to faithfully preach and teach the Word of God, to teach our people the nature and meaning of the sacraments as central to their piety and their Christian lives,
mm-hmm.
As well as shows shepherding care, a lot of folks that we meet that come through our doors, they share with us that they've never received a visit from an elder. They didn't ever really know their pastor. And with the megachurch movement, there is essentially this this approach which says, okay, you're in the church, but there's no expectation that you'll be known. There's no expectation, really, that you will know the pastors and the leaders. And it really is an unbiblical approach, because Christ is our shepherd, and in him, leadership are called to be under-shepherds. And so we're reaching out to those who are unchurched, of course, but also to those who we would call under-churched, and maybe some of our listeners have never heard of that term, under-churched. What would that be, Ross?
Well, under-churched is those who are, they're in a church, and perhaps even a well-meaning church, but they're not receiving the whole counsel of God. They're not receiving the gospel preached faithfully. They're not receiving the sacraments administered faithfully. They're not receiving that shepherding care. These things that, as you've just mentioned, are the marks of a true church. And it's almost as if they're diet is spiritually anemic. And so, again, while there are well-meaning churches out there who are, as our confessional heritage will say, are more or less faithful on a spectrum, once you get to a certain end of that spectrum, there's people who are not being fed spiritually as they need to be. And so we want to be a place where the gospel is preached in all of its robustness, as you have said, and where the other marks of the church are met, so that God's people, his sheep, are feeding in truly green pastures.
Right, those are some very good points, because I think I would have fallen into that category of being under church probably for about 7 years during my early college years. And those years, one of the things that I guess kind of believed was that the church just wasn't that necessary for Christian growth. And I basically held the view that if I had my Bible, if I had prayer, then that means I can grow as a faithful Christian leaps and bounds. And it's only in recent years that I've come to understand how much I actually lacked, because I was not properly churched.
Isn't it incredible, too, how this view can be held? And it's been held by all of us at one point, I think, and is held by many evangelicals, how we can hold this view, and yet the scriptures are jam-packed with exhortations about being committed to the body of Christ, obeying your leaders, investing in others, building up each other in the body of Christ. And yet we still think that somehow we can be spiritual lone rangers.
To be honest, when I read those sort of passages as a young Christian, I just didn't know what it meant. I didn't know what it meant to obey your leaders, because I was in a predominantly mega church setting. So to obey your leaders basically meant you went to church and you paid attention, you didn't snore in service, and you just kind of went along with what was going on. But it never really struck me that the actual minister that you are under plays a very important role in how you develop. It never struck me that part of your sanctification involves basically being under a shepherd who is faithfully preaching the word of God and taking it to heart. And so, again, it's one of the things, of course, all Christians probably have regrets, but one of my dearest regrets was that my youngest Christian days was spent in folly. It was spent just doing foolish things, because I didn't have ministers who would just tell me in a very plain sense, you're acting like a young child in the faith. You need to actually learn from older men who can teach you the faith. And that, to me, is one of the things I've regretted, but it's one of the things I take seriously now. That it's very important for me as a Christian to realize, if I am not a faithful member of a local church, then I am not just harming myself, I'm actually disobedient to the word preached by the apostles.
You know, I think that our American culture and the mindset, that Lone Ranger Christianity that John mentioned a moment ago, I think that our culture really plays into that when it comes to the church, because we are sort of culturally conditioned to think that as Americans that we can do it alone. Mm-hmm. You know, I can mm-hmm. do. Mm-hmm. And that when we get into the church, there's this flipping of piety on its head where we start with ourselves and we start with me and my Bible alone, mm-hmm. and the church mm-hmm. becomes sort of the cherry on top.
Yeah,
that's and right. It does a disservice to God's people, and it creates a misreading of the word. And mm-hmm. we read Hebrews that says, "Don't forsake the meeting of yourselves together." And we don't think church; we think of something of me gathering with my friends.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yes, you can have great fellowship at Starbucks with a Christian friend.
Absolutely,
but mm-hmm. the means of grace are not there.
It's true.
The word is not being preached by a man set apart. To do that, the sacraments are not being administered. At least they shouldn't be, as our confession says, by a lawful ordained minister. And the fellowship that takes place on the Lord's Day in the gathered community is that concentrated discipleship and accountability that we all need. And this is wrapped up in the Great Commission, isn't it?
Amen.
Our Lord said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Mm-hmm. And behold, I am with you always. Now, this looks an awful lot like a church context, mm-hmm. what's being spoken of here. Make disciples. It doesn't say make converts. Mm-hmm. It says make disciples. Discipleship is a lifelong process for the Christian believer. And so that lifelong mm-hmm. process takes place within the God-appointed, God-ordained structure of a biblical church. Also, it says baptizing. So we have the sacraments there. Of course, Acts 2:42, the early disciples devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. Another foundational verse for the early church and for normative Christian living. And then it says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the exhortation to the apostles, i.e. church leaders, to future elders and pastors, to teach all that Christ commanded. And this is an expository preaching ministry, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
You're not just preaching portions of Scripture, the ones that are more culturally palatable, the ones that you want to teach because you've read a good book on the subject last week, mm-hmm. or something you've seen on the news. This is the whole counsel of God that is to be proclaimed. And so really, when we talk about our desire to plant Christ Church Presbyterian in the midst of a lot of so-called churches. Now, some are churches. Some do bear the marks of a church. But this is an area with over 600,000 people and growing very fast.
Mm-hmm.
And how many churches are truly preaching the whole counsel of God with zeal, administering the sacraments properly, teaching their people what that means, and then giving spiritual oversight, mm-hmm. true spiritual care, where they are shepherding your soul.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we want to do, and that's what we want to see more churches doing in this area, and also as we seek to plant more churches like the one we're hoping to plant in Pawleys Island, South Carolina, this summer.
Amen, yeah. You know, and one of the things that is beautiful about all this is the simplicity.
Mm-hmm.
The marks of the church are really very straightforward, and so the marks and the mission of the church go together, don't they?
Indeed.
So we see our mission as being carrying out those marks, and I mentioned in our previous episode that the one thing I thought I was not going to do after seminary was church planting.
Hmm.
And part of the reason for that is because I didn't see myself as creative enough or innovative enough, and I'm not, which is why it's great to be on a team. But the mission of church planting doesn't have to be a complicated one. It is being faithful to the marks and mission of the church as we've just described here. And that really brings a lot of clarity and a lot of confidence in what we do, I believe. When you think about church planting, we don't need to be reading manuals about church planting and books and books and books about strategy. I think we have our strategy, don't we?
Indeed, we just read it in the Great Commission, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
We did.
It's making disciples. And again, we recognize that there are lots of churches and leaders that are really seeking to make disciples, and we praise God for that. But you know, we want to be challenged ourselves, and we want to challenge all of our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who may hear this, that our goal should be faithfulness mm-hmm. to the Word of God, and not success, not growth in numbers primarily, but growth spiritually, maturing. You know, some people make the assertion that we need all kinds of churches. Gabe, we need churches that are going to bring conversions. We need churches mm-hmm. that are going to be social justice churches and help community. We need churches that are going to be teaching churches. I think all of that is nonsense. I think what we need are biblical churches.
Amen. And we need a whole lot more. And one of the pervasive myths about at least Southerners is that all Southerners go to church. Perhaps you could have said that 45, 50 years ago, but we have seen a very growing secular audience in the South. And the reality is that in a city like Charleston with 600,000 plus people, if you only have the same amount of churches that you had in 1960, you are not serving the community with the gospel. It's just not possible. There's not enough people, not enough faithful men to do the work. And so the reality is that the Great Commission is telling us that not only do we need to just make our church conform to the standard of Scripture, we need more churches so that we can have a bigger net. We have many more people we need to reach. And so where my wife and I live, there may be three or four churches on our, you know, block or so, but there's also about 2,500 people around where we live. And so what that simply means is that more churches need to go out to proclaim the gospel, to make every man mature in Christ. That's what we're commanded to do. And church is just the means that God has provided us to do that. And so it's not a issue of simply just conforming every church to biblical standards. We actually need numerically more biblical churches. We need more men who are willing to take up the work. And as Ross mentioned, it's not necessarily about being creative. It's not innovative. It's faithfulness. Are we going to have more faithful men committed to the task?
Indeed. Well, this has been a great discussion here on Between the Times. We hope you will join us next time on our new podcast.